incredible these days about older women having babies. Medical science and technology have developed various hormone-enhancing drugs which now enable women to bear children well into their 50s and early 60s. With in vitro fertilization, artificial insemination, surrogate motherhood, it's not all that uncommon to hear of older women bearing children. But the idea of a 90-year-old woman becoming pregnant by her 99-year-old husband, that is truly amazing. And this happened without the assistance of any kind of drugs or modern medicine. It happened in fulfillment to the promise of God that we have read this morning here in Hebrews 11, verse 11 and 12. The story of Abraham and Sarah is a story of a husband and wife, and their faith in the promise of God and the supernatural empowerment of natural conception and childbirth that came as a result of such faith. For the past few weeks, we've been studying through Hebrews 11, and we've seen the importance and the role of faith amongst the heroes of faith that are listed here in chapter 11. We've seen how these men and women have exerted great faith. And last week, we saw from the example of Abraham that true faith is obedient. Back in verse 8, when Abraham was told to go to a place that he didn't know where, he obeyed, he went. True faith is obedient. We also saw that true faith is patient in verse 9, because Abraham arrived to the promised land and it wasn't his yet. Like living in a house that is yours with roommates and yet you can't really own it yet. True faith is patient. And for today, God would have us to see in verses 11 and 12 that true faith is empowering. By faith, Abraham was empowered to impregnate Sarah for the conception of Isaac. While Sarah is obviously included here in verse 11, the emphasis is actually on the faith of Abraham, who received the ability to produce a son through his wife. Verse 11 is unusually difficult to translate because it raises some serious textual, grammatical, and lexical questions over which commentators have been divided for years. And for those of you who bring your Greek New Testaments to worship, I feel that I need to address you as well this morning, because one of the main questions in this verse is over the phrase received strength or power or ability to conceive. And we need to ask, who is the main subject of, or who's the subject of the main verb received? Eleben is the word in Greek. Is it Sarah? Did she receive this power? Or is it Abraham? Did he receive the power? And there are two thoughts that I think have helped show that Abraham is in fact the subject of the main verb. The first is the expression eis katabolein spermatos in Greek. It is a fixed Hellenistic idiom for what is exclusively the function of the male in procreation. The NIV translates it, was enabled to become a father. And the context, the second thing is the context here in verse 12, which stands in closest relationship to verse 11, clearly is referring here to Abraham. Thus we can translate verse 11 to say, by faith, even though Sarah was barren, he, meaning Abraham, received strength for procreation. So in verses 11 and 12, the focus is upon Abraham and his faith to father child, even in old age, even when his wife Sarah was barren and past the normal age for childbearing, and his own reproductive activities and abilities had ceased to function. If you hold your finger here in Hebrews 11 and turn back to Romans 4, you'll see in verses 19 through 21 that Paul makes the same point. Romans 4, 19 through 21. Paul was speaking here of Abraham and his faith in regards to this same subject. He writes regarding Abraham, "He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised." And so, based on our text and this one here in Romans, we can learn two truths about how faith is empowering. The first is that it strengthens us. And secondly, it rewards us. It strengthens us. Faith strengthens us. It strengthened Abraham, it strengthened Sarah, and it can strengthen us in different ways. One way is that it will enable us to face up to our problems. Okay? Is there anyone here who can honestly say that they have no problems or troubles or cares or concerns whatsoever? And if you raise your hand, then you have a problem with lying. Because everyone, at some point or another, has problems, right? We have issues. We have concerns. Everyone is going to have to deal with some kind of trial or affliction or problem in their life from time to time on somewhat of a regular basis. And look at the problems Abraham and Sarah had to face. For one, they were childless. And if you turn back to Genesis 15, look at verses 1 through 3. You'll see that this fact weighed very heavily upon Abraham. Genesis 15, verses 1 through 3. We read, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." Or your very great reward. "But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir." So here the word of the Lord comes to Abram in a vision to comfort him, to assure him of God's blessing. And yet in spite of that, he takes very little comfort from that promise. And instead we see his heart is breaking because the one thing that is so precious to him, he does not have. And it is a son, a descendant, and a natural heir. And you'll see here in Genesis 15 that this scene was back before Abram got his name changed to Abraham. Now, is that important for us to know? Do you know what the name Abram means? It means father of many. Abram's sorrow must have been increased by his name, which means father of many. You can only imagine how humiliating it must have been in casual conversations every time you met someone new. "Hi, I'm Abram." "Oh, father of many. Congratulations. How many sons do you have?" "None." "None? No children to back up your name? How funny." And Abraham knew about his problems. He didn't deny them. He didn't hide from them. He faced up to them. Faith enabled him to do that. It gave him the strength to look at the problems squarely in the eye. Not to deny them, not to hide from them, not to minimize them. To acknowledge them. And we know what it's like from time to time to be in similar situations. Trying to remain faithful to God in the face of these problems. These issues that stare us in the face. And it can be hard at times dealing with problems. But by faith, we are enabled to face them in a godly manner just as Abraham did. True faith does that. It strengthens us and enables us to look them in the eye, to own up to them, as Abraham and Sarah did. Well, there's another thing that true faith does as it strengthens us. It enables us to lay hold of God's promise. I mean, if we only had the problems to look at, then that could be very disheartening. But we see here that, like Abraham, he was able to own up to the promise that God had given him. And did you notice what God did for Abram in Genesis 15, verses 4 and 5, if you still have your fingers there? Genesis 15, 4 and 5, after Abram had mentioned that he had no children, the Lord responded, "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir.' And he brought him outside and said, 'Look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.'" So God immediately responded to Abram's cry for a son with this great promise. And then he invites him outside and calls his attention to the stars above. And God said, "Look toward heaven, number the stars if you can number them. And so shall your offspring be." One writer named Richard Phillips writes, "Imagine the scene. We should let our imaginations dwell upon it. Abram being led out by God into the night to gaze upon the countless multitude of stars in the dazzling desert sky as the measure of his coming blessing. How overwhelming it must have been. Just seeing all of those stars, and every one of them, in a sense, would represent one of his offspring. So shall your offspring be." Then in verse 6 of Genesis 15, we are told, "And Abram," or he, "believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness." This is the paradigm the Apostle Paul uses in Romans to show and teach justification by faith. It was counted to him. It was imputed to his account, credited to him as righteousness by faith. And so we see the doctrine of justification by faith being laid out here in seed form in Genesis 15 and verse 6. Abraham's faith enabled him to own up to the problems, to face them, but to be able to look beyond the problem of being childless in order to lay hold of the promise of God that is mentioned here in Genesis 15. "So shall your offspring be. From your own body, Abraham." And did you know that God still relates to his children in this world through promises? 2 Peter 1:4 tells us that he has granted us his precious and very great promises. My friends, the Word of God is a book of promises that are given to us by the Almighty God. And not one of the promises that are contained in this book have ever been broken. God is faithful. He is reliable. He can be trusted and depended upon to keep his word. Every one of his promises either has been fulfilled, is in the process of being fulfilled, or will yet be fulfilled. And that you can take to the bank. God does this. He gives these promises for various reasons. One is to lift our eyes up above our immediate problems and cares and anxieties, as he lifted Abraham's eyes up to the heavens. So that while we face our problems, while we acknowledge and own up to them, we don't become consumed by them. We don't become fixated with them. But we look beyond them, because the promises of God draw our eyes to greater and more important things. And God also deals with us through his promises, not only to take our eyes off of the problems, but to lift them to something far greater, and that is God himself. See, that is something we all need to keep in mind, isn't it? When we become consumed by our problems, when we find ourselves feeling sorry for ourselves, having our own little pity party, we need to lift our eyes off of ourselves and focus them upon the Lord. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Abraham's faith went beyond the promise. As long as his mind dwelt upon the thing promised, it seemed too incredible. But when he took his thoughts off all secondary causes and he fixed them upon God himself, then the difficulties no longer disturbed him, no longer troubled him, and his heart had rest in God. And people, that is where we need to find our rest and our peace, in God alone. Knowing that God could be depended upon, Abraham looked beyond the promise to the promiser. And as he did, all doubting was stilled. All anxiety, all worry, all disappointment and depression seemed to vanish. He rested with full confidence in the immutability of an infinite God who keeps all of his promises and can be fully trusted and relied upon to keep his word. And it is by meditating upon that God, upon that the character of God, that our faith is fed and it's strengthened and it's built up. Faith enables us to lay hold of God's promise, to expect the blessing, no matter how apparent the difficulties and how supposed the impossibilities. This faith is built up by the promises. And this truth is brought out back in Hebrews 11:11, where we are taught that by faith, Abraham was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who promised. He considered him faithful who promised. Whenever his problems or doubts began to be that storm cloud over his mind and heart, all he had to do was once again focus his thoughts upon God and consider how faithful and reliable and trustworthy this God is. And he found peace again. This shows one other way in which faith is strengthened, and that is it enables us to persevere until the promise is fulfilled. So faith enables us to look at the problem. It enables us to grab hold of the promise and enables us to hang in there until the promise is finally fulfilled. Abraham found himself in a position that we all experience at different times, having some promise from God which seems so far removed from our personal experience. Here's the promise, and yet here's where we're at, where we're living, and the two seem to be miles apart. And we don't know how they're going to be brought together, but God brings them together. Abraham was 75 years old when God called him out of his homeland. 75 years old. Can you imagine Abraham at that age trying to explain to people that he was going to have so many descendants that they couldn't be counted? Abraham had to wait another 25 years before he and Sarah gave birth to their son Isaac. God kept them childless until they were past the age of childbearing, with nothing to hang on to except the promise of God himself. So you can see how Abraham at 80 and 85 and 90 and 95 being this old, and here's the promise way over here, and he can't see how God is going to bring the two together. But faith enabled him to persevere and to continue pressing on in his journey, waiting for the fulfillment of that promise. And after 25 years, Abraham and Sarah received the ability from God to have a child, just as he promised. Have you ever prayed for something for 25 years? And as the weeks and months turn into years, you would begin to wonder if it's ever truly going to happen. The true faith is that powerful. It strengthens us. It enables us to see the invisible, to lay hold of the promise, and to persevere until it is fulfilled. Here in Hebrews 11, verse 11, it calls our attention to the marvelous power of a God-given faith to exercise itself in the presence of the most discouraging circumstances and to persevere in the face of the most formidable obstacles and trust God to do that which seemed utterly impossible. And the point is that true faith will wait upon the Lord however long it takes, even if it takes a long time, 25 years or longer, for the fulfillment of that promise. By faith, Abraham and Sarah were strengthened to conceive the Son of promise to the praise of God. And there are parents who have often prayed for their children 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. Faith enables them to continue praying, trusting that God will be pleased to grant them what they pray for. True faith strengthens us so that we can face our problems, so we can hold on to God's promises, so that we can persevere until those promises are fulfilled. That's what faith does. It strengthens us. Secondly, it rewards us. Again, here in Hebrews 11, verse 11, refers to the birth of Isaac, which was itself a triumph of faith. God had done a great thing. But also this verse draws attention to the faith of Abraham's wife, Sarah. Because her name is mentioned here in this verse. And her life was intimately bound and connected to that of her husband. Wherever Abraham went, Sarah went. And together they experienced the trials and the hardships of a nomadic life. And when Abraham departed from his native country, when he went to an unknown land, Sarah was right there at his side. And unlike Lot's wife, she did not look back. She became what Peter calls an heir with Abraham of the grace of life in 1 Peter 3:7. Abraham cherished this beloved companion, his life companion, his life partner. He loved her so much that he never took another wife as long as she lived. And that says a lot in a day when polygamy was so common. But to his credit, we can say that Abraham was a one-woman man. And Sarah was a one-man woman. Genesis 18:12 indicates that Sarah thought of herself as a worn-out garment. And she laughed when she overheard God's promise that he would be giving them a son. And that's the passage Mark read this morning. And it showed how the Lord gently rebuked her and informed her that she would have a son at the appointed time. And Sarah was afraid in God's presence, in the presence of the all-knowing God who sees everything, who knows everything, who cannot be fooled, he cannot be deceived. And even though she did not laugh out loud, the Lord could read her inmost thoughts and graciously used her laugh and Abraham's laugh to confirm the prophecy. God saw right through her denials as he does look through and see through all of our denials, all of our excuses, and our own times of feeble faith. And sometimes God's good news seems too good to be true. The good news, however, is that God is more gracious than we even expect, able to do infinitely abundantly beyond all we ask or imagine. God had already been gracious to Abraham when he had doubts. Now, he was gracious in Genesis 18 to Sarah in times of her doubts. God knows people's doubts. He understands our fears and our anxieties and our concerns. And my friends, you can take great comfort in knowing that no matter what kind of struggle or trial you may be going through personally or your family may be going through, God is completely aware of it. God is all sovereign and is able to control it. God is all good and is all loving and does only that for His people what is in our best interest. And that gives us great comfort and joy in the midst of our trials and concerns. Nothing can thwart God's purposes. God deals with us, not as our sins deserve, not in accordance so much with our lack of faith, but in terms of His goodness. He deals graciously with us as with a friend. And Abraham may be old and Sarah may be barren, but those trifles present no difficulty to Him who is infinite in power. Amen? I mean, those are pitiful obstacles to the Almighty God who was able to make heaven and earth out of nothing. And we need to understand that's the kind of God that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. The kind of God who will not permit a sparrow to fall to the ground apart from His will. The kind of God who has the very hairs on our head numbered. The God who is intimately concerned with our smallest need or problem or care. Martin Luther once said, "If you would trust God, you must learn to crucify the question, how? How? If God promised it, He'll do it. Leave it up to God to work out the how, or the when, or the where, or the whys. Leave it in God's hands. Faith will do that." Like Sarah and Abraham, we need to view our difficulties through the clear light of God's promises and develop that kind of faith. And let me say that true faith, it's rewarding, and it rewards us with what God promises. Okay? Finally, where we are and what God promises, God will eventually bring it together and we'll have what He promises. If not here in this life, in the next life. God, in fact, enabled Abraham and Sarah to bear a son. And his name is Isaac. And if you look here to Hebrews 11, verse 12, it speaks of how they were rewarded not only with Isaac, but with descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. By trusting in God by faith, Abraham and Sarah were enabled to bring forth a son into the world. Isaac was that miracle child. He was the child of the supernatural work of God. Sarah's womb was dead, Paul says in Romans 4:19. And before she could conceive, a supernatural strength and power had to be given to her, as well as to her 99-year-old husband. In this, of course, we see a foreshadowing of the miraculous birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The birth of Christ is foreshadowed by that of Isaac. Is foreshadowed in at least three ways. First, Isaac was the promised seed and son. He was the child of promise, but so was the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, a lengthy interval occurred between God's first promise to Abraham and its realization. And likewise, there's a lengthy interval between God's promise to send the Lord Jesus Christ and its final fulfillment and realization. And then third, Isaac's conception was miraculous. And so was the Lord Jesus Christ's. The miraculous conception. In fact, God's question to Sarah in Genesis 18:14 was, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" And this prepares us for the angel's message to Mary later in Luke chapter 1:37, where he says, "There is nothing impossible with God." Every true Christian is the result of God's powerful, supernatural, miraculous activity. When the disciples asked Jesus, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Even an old man and his wife having a child. All things are possible. Parents that long for that lost son or daughter to be saved can have hope, knowing that with God all things are possible. Children who long for that elderly parent to be converted can still have hope, because with God all things are possible. People who struggle in marriages can have hope, because with God all things are possible. And we can multiply the examples, but I think you get the picture. True faith rewards us with what God promises, and true faith rewards us beyond what we expect. I mean, the reward of faith is out of proportion to our faith. Our faith is here, and God's reward is way up here. It's out of proportion. God told Abraham he would make him into a great nation, that he would be the father of multitudes. And Paul shows this includes not just the Jewish race, but if you look at Romans 4:16 and 17 with me, it also refers to spiritual descendants. In Romans 4:16, Paul writes, "That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring," all Abraham's offspring, "not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, 'I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, he gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist.' And in hope, Abraham believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, 'So shall your offspring be.'" And we see that he did not waver in unbelief. God's promise to Abraham continues to be fulfilled down throughout the century. Every time someone is converted, every time someone is saved, another descendant is given to Abraham, who is the father of our faith. He's been rewarded beyond what he, in his wildest imagination, would ever have been able to conceive. Nothing is impossible with God. God is able to do abundantly beyond all we ask or think. And our faith must not be in ourselves. It must not be in our faith, but in God who is faithful. Our faith must rest upon God. And we see the whole concept of salvation by grace here. It was nothing that Abraham or Sarah in and of themselves were able to bring about. They had to rely upon God, and God kept his promises, and he continues to do so. Especially the promise to send a Savior to deliver us from our sin. We have no record of Sarah in the years that followed her son's near sacrifice on Mount Moriah. We can assume, though, that she enjoyed a long and happy life, that she enjoyed the love of a devoted and loyal son until the day she died. And she died at the age of 127. She's the only woman in the Bible whose age is recorded at death. I think that shows us something of the important place she held in the heart of God and his people. If you look back at Hebrews 11, notice verse 13. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." Sarah, in fact, did come to know the joys of motherhood. She would even come to nurse her son at her own breast, experiencing the fullness of God's wonderful power and love. But there were greater promises that were given to Sarah. If she only had the eyes to behold them in faith. And those promises, of course, referred to the coming of Christ and the redemptive work that He would accomplish on her behalf. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And by faith, Sarah looks forward to the one who was to come, and one who would be greater than her son Isaac. In much the same way that Abraham saw the day of Christ, he rejoiced in it and was glad. And may we all find grace as well to exercise that similar faith in Christ, who has come, who has died for sinners, and has risen, that we might be justified by faith in Him. By the power of His grace, God brought life from Sarah's barren womb. One man said, "In that manner, the barren womb signifies salvation by grace all through the Bible." Isaiah could boldly write, "Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst in the song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband." All this rose to a new level when another descendant of Abraham was born, not of the barren womb, but of the virgin womb. The barren womb speaks of human failure and weakness and futility. The virgin womb speaks of a work that belongs to God alone, in which human works have no place at all. Let us trust ourselves to this God who gives life from the dead and produces blessing from the barren womb, even salvation through the virgin womb from which came our Lord Jesus Christ. So my friends, we can take great joy and comfort and hope in the God who promises and fulfills those promises and gives us grace to persevere to the end when those promises will all be fulfilled. And if you are a stranger to the promises of God, if you are a stranger to the grace of God, here is a great opportunity for you now, by faith, to lift your eyes to Jesus Christ. He died at the cross. There He shed His blood and paid the penalty for our sins. He came under the wrath of the Father so that we can be delivered from the wrath to come. And all who look to Him in trust and faith and rely upon His work at Calvary will be delivered from their sins and will escape the wrath to come. What better opportunity than now in the Lord's house on the Lord's day to turn from your evil ways and by faith put your trust in Christ and embrace the promises that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life and persevere until those are finally fulfilled the day we enter into glory and see our Savior face to face. Until then, may God's grace be with you all to persevere in the midst of your problems and trials, trusting in a God with whom nothing is impossible, and knowing that you will one day see all of these promises fulfilled. Let us pray. We do thank You, our great God, for the promises that You give us. We thank You for the examples of faith to encourage us. And Lord, as You were pleased to do a supernatural work in the bodies of Abraham and Sarah, we ask that You would do a supernatural work in the hearts of those here today who are outside of the kingdom, who are still lost and in darkness spiritually. Those who need a Savior, those who need the hope that You offer to them in the gospel. Lord, we pray that this would be the day of renewal, that this would be the day of new birth, that this would be the day of repentance and faith and joy and celebration in a newfound Savior who is Jesus Christ. May Your word not return void, and may You be pleased to accomplish all that You determine in sending out the word of God this day for the glory of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.